Rick, thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
What are the biggest unresolved questions this summer break at the Capitol?
Oh, I would say probably an energy policy overhaul is a big one. Doing something about the proliferating medical marijuana clinics. And also there are some corrections measures, especially as they relate to people who are released and juveniles that I think they'll be looking at.
We've been hearing about the possibility for energy reform and about various, different policies that could be coming. What can we expect in September?
Well, we don't know what to expect, in part because, energy policy is such a broad area, and this package is just so big that, we're talking about renewable energy. We're talking about, making it easier or harder for competitors to try and pick off customers from the big utilities, and ensuring that the energy supply is just is reliable. That when you turn the switch, that the electricity is going to turn on. And there are a lot of disparate entities who have different ideas about how that ought to look, and they're all in agreement on just one thing, which is they don't like what's before the Senate right now.
And what is before the Senate right now?
What's before the Senate right now is something that would make it harder for competitors to pick off customers from utilities, because they would have to ensure a reliable energy supply regardless, and take that onus off the utilities, who right now have to not just make sure that their customer base is served, that they've got enough capacity to take care of them, but also to take care of any customers that might return from competitors. And competition proponents say that that would effectively kill that program. Then if you look at it on maybe the environmental side of it, that they don't like the fact that the state would replace the renewable energy mandates that it has with renewable energy targets. They say that the state ought to take a more active role in promoting clean, renewable energy. And the response there is that the market is basically taking care of it right now. So that's a very complicated debate, very few areas of agreement, and so a lot to talk about over the summer and then again in September when the legislature comes back.
There have been a number of raids on medical marijuana dispensaries in northern Michigan and really across the whole state.
Absolutely.
When the legislature comes back, what are they going to talk about with regards to these medical marijuana dispensaries?
Well, the medical marijuana law, which you will remember is an initiated law, it was done as the result of a petition drive that the people then voted on, as opposed to legislative action, in many respects, in many instances, requires super majorities in order to amend that law. But it has a lot of holes in it, a lot of questions, and local officials are wondering what they can do about medical marijuana clinics. And so what this would do is set some parameters around where they could be, what local governments could do to control them, and maybe also to do something about, what do you do with growers who, people who are legitimate medical marijuana cardholders who grow more than they're legally allowed to have. What happens with that overage?
Is the state hamstrung by what's going on at the federal level, though, too, when it comes to these medical marijuana laws?
Well, there's always a difficulty there because, states are doing things like allowing medical marijuana. Some states are legalizing marijuana, Colorado, for example, and that's an open question here in Michigan whether we'll see that on the ballot in November. But marijuana is still a federally banned drug, and it is a federal crime to possess it. So the intersection of state and federal laws when it comes to relaxing them as far as marijuana goes is going to be awkward.
You mentioned corrections reform, and that's something I hadn't heard about yet. What's on the table there?
State Senator John Prose of Southwest Michigan is taking the lead on that. And the idea is that there are more things that we can do to basically improve the odds for people succeeding outside once they're released from prison, in terms of training and assistance while they're for you know, getting ready for the outside while they're still in prison, and then some support for them once they're released. Also, Governor Snyder just signed part of this to make it easier to divert juvenile offenders into alternative programs and maybe even help them clear their records so they don't have to deal with that as they go on in life and apply to college and apply for jobs and things like that. That there's the question of maybe extending those sorts of services, not just to people who are 17 and younger, but 18-year-olds as well.
One last question, Rick. Sure. If you didn't know, there's an election coming up in a little more than 4 months. How will the election affect business in Lansing when the legislature returns?
Well, it affects it in two ways. One is the breaks tend to be longer because, you know, people who are seeking re-election or maybe running for another office want to be back in their district's campaigning. And the other thing is that it just becomes harder and harder to deal with controversial topics. For example, you know, the legislature just before it went off on the break dealt with a bailout of the Detroit Public Schools. Now, there were some accounting deadlines that they had to deal with, but there was also the problem that that was so controversial that the closer you get to the election and the more these things might be burned into voters' memories as they're headed to the polling places, the more difficult it becomes to get those things done.
Rick Pluta is Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Nice to talk, Rick.
Always a pleasure, David.